We're going to be reading this morning from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. And again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, and 2 bags of silver to another, and 2 bags of silver to the last. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities, he then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. And the servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. And the servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." And the master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." And the servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." And the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." And then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." And then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The last few weeks we have been looking at Jesus' discourse on readiness. The theme is being ready. It started back in chapter 24, talking about the end times, and it continues on into chapter 25. Jesus tells us to watch because we don't know the day or the hour, and it could be at any moment. But then in the parable of the 10 virgins, he tells us that we're to wait for the coming, because the coming could be a while in happening. But we're to wait in a state of readiness with things in proper order. The action in that parable was passive. It was waiting. We're to keep our lamps trimmed and bright. We're to keep extra oil for our lamps. We're to be ready because we're waiting. But then Jesus tells this parable of the talents. And we see there's more to being ready for his coming than just waiting, passively waiting. There is something to be done. There's action to be taking place. And so the action now is not passive. The action is active. There are things to be done. There is a life of engagement to be lived. See, the parable is about what to do to be ready. See, in being ready, expect to be active. You're just not sitting and waiting. In your waiting, you're to be busy. We are to be carrying on the work of Christ in his absence. We are to be his hands and feet. He has given us, his church, his followers, talents and resources and opportunities to do so. You see, we are empowered servants. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who entrusted his servants with his parables, Jesus was talking about things that were very common to the people of the time, and this was a common thing. It was a common practice for a man who was going to go on a journey to leave his servants in charge of his property to keep it up and to keep the business going while he was away. And he would often put more than one servant in charge. And there was a reason for that. One wasn't to spread the work around, so one person wasn't responsible for everything, but also it built in accountability. You know, it reduced the risk of embezzlement and fraud because different ones were involved in different areas and they would be holding themselves accountable. And so the man called in three servants and he gave each talent, gave each talents according to their abilities. To 1 5, to 1 2, and to 1 1. You know, when we read that word talent today, we associate a talent with an ability, with a skill set. A natural gift of being able to do something. And you know, we've all got some kind of talent. They're God-given talents. But the word that Jesus used here that's translated for us in English as talent actually is a measure, or it's a weight. And in this case, it's money. And a talent was the highest denomination of currency in the Roman world. A talent was equal to about 6,000 to 10,000 denarii. And if you remember, a denarius was a day's wage. And so basically what he was doing was giving them $6,000 worth of day's wages. If you took the time to try to figure all that out today, a little over $1 million is what he gave the one. And of course, the one who got five talents got $5 million. And we sat there and went, wow, this was a pretty rich guy. It looks kind of extravagant going off and leaving somebody in charge of that much money. But what it tells us is, and what Jesus is trying to get us to see here, what he is talking about is no trivial matter. It's important. The resources they were given, they were to use to carry on his work. And so the man calls in the three servants and he gives them money according to their abilities. To one he gave five, to the second he gave two, and to the third he gave one talent. One of the things that we need to observe immediately is they didn't have the same skill set. They didn't have the same ability. Their strengths, their power, their influence, they were different degrees in different areas. And so they were given different resources and different opportunities according to their abilities. There was one who had a lot of ability and he was given five talents. Another had average abilities and he was given two talents. And then there was one who had less ability and he was given one. But what we need to notice is each one had abilities. Each one of them had a skill set that they could use, and each one was given an opportunity. They were different, but they had them. And they were expected to use them, to use these resources with their abilities that they had. You see, there's no two of us alike. Well, somebody should have said amen there. There's no two of us alike. We're all different. We have our weaknesses, and we have our strengths. Every one of us. And they're not the same. Each one of us have our own unique skill sets. There's those skills that we're good at. And then there's those things that we couldn't do if our life depended on it. And God gives us resources and opportunities to use what we have. Whatever those abilities are, God gives us the resources and the opportunities to use them. We find that the master here gave the servants these talents according to their resources. And so the servant with five talents put his money to work. Now he didn't put his money to work by investing it in the bank. He didn't put it in a savings account. He wouldn't have drawn any much interest on that anyway. He didn't put it in a CD and he didn't put it in a stock market. He took his resources that he had and he put his abilities to work and he traded with it. He did business with it. If we want to sort of bring it down into today, what he might have done, he might have bought some property, developed it, and then sold it for a profit. Purchased a car, fixed it up and detailed it, and sold it. Bought a house and flipped it. Planted a crop and harvested it. But whatever his skill set was, he took his skill set, his abilities, whatever they were, and he used them to add to the resources that he had, that he might provide his master an increase. You see, he did with his resources what he really believed his master would have done. The servant with two talents did the same thing. Different degree, but the same thing. He took his money and he put it to work. You know, maybe he planted a garden and sold the produce at the local farmer's market. We don't know what his abilities were. We don't know what he did. All we know is he used his abilities to increase his resources. He did what he believed his master would have done if he had been there. But the third servant took his talent and buried it in the ground. What he did, he put it away for safekeeping. And that was the way they did it. They would take their money and they would bury it in the ground for safekeeping. And that's what he did. It's possible that he thought the one talent really didn't matter. You know, it was just one talent. It really wasn't that important. It wasn't five, it wasn't two, it was only one. Why worry with just one talent? You know, who would even notice anyway what would happen? And what could he do with just one talent? And so I'll just keep it safe. I want to ask you this morning, what are your abilities? What's your skill set? What is it that you can do? Now, as you're starting to think about that, one thing that you cannot tell yourself is, I have no abilities, I have no skill set, I can't do anything. If that's what you're thinking, you need to stop lying to yourself. Because every one of us have abilities. Every one of us has skills that we can use. Every one of us has something we can do. God has gifted us that way. We have something. And whatever those are, God is providing resources and opportunities for us to use them in His kingdom. Whatever they are. And you see, what you do makes a difference not only to others, but to yourself. Because there is going to be an accountability day. Jesus said, after a long time, the master returns. Folks, after a long time, Jesus is going to come again. He's going to return. It's going to happen. The master returned after a long time, and he holds them accountable for what they did with their opportunities and the resources he gave them. The phrase here, give an account or settle accounts with, makes it very clear. The talents were not given to them for safekeeping. They were given to them for investment. And he was looking to get back more than what he gave them. He wasn't necessarily looking for them to double it, but he was looking for something, some kind of increase. That's what he was looking for. They had been representing him. And that's what he would have done. He would have made an increase with the resources that he had. And that's what he expected from them. He expected a return. And so the one who had been given five talents, he came and gave the master five more. The five he had gained. The one who had been given two talents came and gave him a total of four. And their master praised them. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and celebrate with me. Come and enter and share my happiness and joy. What we notice about them is they were good because of their faithfulness and investment. See, goodness is not inherent to a list of rules. It is faithfulness in the performance of kingdom service. Being faithful is good, and goodness is being faithful. And so these are two very important words in this parable. Good and faithful. You know, that good and faithful is something that anyone can do. And really, that was all that was demanded of them. God is faithful. Paul told the Corinthian church, God is faithful. The psalmist told us that God is entirely faithful. God is faithful and He expects us to be faithful. Isn't that really what we sing about when we sing that song, Freely, Freely, this morning? God has been faithful toward us and now we are to be faithful. But not only is God faithful, God is good. How many times have you heard it? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. And God is good. And He is good all the time. And the psalmist said, how kind the Lord is. How good He is. How merciful this God of ours. And so what God is looking for from us is us to be good and faithful with our resources, with our opportunities, with our abilities. Being good and faithful results in two things. Faithfulness in a few things is the basis for future and bigger responsibilities. And you know, that might be what holds us back sometimes. Because we don't want more responsibility. We like the way things are. We don't like to be stretched. We don't like to be changed. I have my abilities and I just let me do my own little thing in my own little world. I don't want any more. And so we don't really practice faithfulness because we don't want more responsibility. But what we discover is when we are faithful, not only is there future and bigger responsibilities, the reward for faithfulness is sharing in the joy of the Master. Now some of the language here and some of the translations makes it sound like it's a party. That we're celebrating with God because we were good and faithful. But what is being said is, the servant is coming to value what the master values, so the reward is sharing in the satisfaction of a good investment. What's happening is like this. When you take your abilities and your resources and you do something with them, and it turns out really good, how do you feel?
Two talent people in the world. There's a few few,
but they're not a lot. You know, I put Billy Graham on that five talent level. There's a few, but they're not a lot. But there are a whole bunch of one talent people in the world. And if it were not for the one talent people in the world, very little would be accomplished. If it wasn't for all those one talent people in the world, not much would happen in the kingdom of God. But it's when the one talent people are faithful and good that great things get accomplished in the kingdom of God. In fact, it's when a lot of one talent people get busy that we see a lot of things happen that we wouldn't think would happen. Now, I think that's what we saw happen in the last election. A lot of people who had no power except to vote, voted. And changed the whole complex of everything. Folks, that's true in our Christian world. It's not the 5 and 10 talent people that make everything really great and wonderful. Oh, they're needed. They need to put theirs to work too. But it's the one talent people that make the biggest difference when they put it to work. You see, if he had just used his one talent, he would have had an increase. Maybe it had been another talent. Maybe it had been a half a talent. We don't know. But what we know is if he had used that one talent, he would have increased it and he would have brought glory to his master and he would have enjoyed the joy with the master. And then he would have probably been given 2 talents to put to work the next time. But instead he hid it and he did nothing. In the parable of the foolish virgins, they failed to think their part too easy. And this servant failed in thinking his was too hard. And so the master replied to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You know how I am, but you don't understand me. You could have done something. You could have done anything so I could have had a return on my investment." Folks, those are some pretty harsh words. Wicked and lazy. You're unwilling to work. You show a lack of effort. You show a lack of care. You know the master's desire. You know what he wants, but you're not acting on it. And the result was he lost the one talent he was given. And he was removed from the presence of the master. You know, when you fail to use an opportunity, what you will discover is you get fewer and fewer opportunities. Until one day, you find there are no opportunities because the presence of God is gone. We are to take advantage of the resources and opportunity God gives us to use what we can do. So what does it mean to be ready? Well, it means we'll not be passively waiting for the moment, but we will be faithfully investing in the kingdom of God according to the abilities we have and the resources and opportunities God gives us. You see, the issue at stake here is not money. It's not resources, and it's not even opportunities. What's at stake here is stewardship. The stewardship of what has been given to you. What are you doing with what God has given to you? What are you doing with it? You see, we must understand the mind of Christ. For the investment is to be done as He would do it. And He is faithful. So readiness is consistently, faithfully doing responsibility to see every opportunity given to us by God to use our abilities as God would have us use them. And I think you would agree with me this morning. This is no trivial matter. It's important. Failure to invest in Christ-like ministry is to invite judgment when Christ returns. So it doesn't matter what you're given. What matters is what do you do with it? What do you do with what God has given you? We are to invest in the kingdom, being good and faithful servants. And this is something we all can do, regardless of our ability or the resources and opportunities we're given. We can do something. When God provides the opportunity, we'll use our ability for the kingdom. This is the way to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I ask you this morning, what are you doing with your abilities in the opportunities that God provides? What are you doing with what God has invested in you? Dear God, this morning, this is no trivial matter. What are we doing? Doing with our God-given abilities? What are we doing with those abilities when God invests His resources in us and opens up doors of opportunities? What are we doing? Are we burying our resources in the earth? Or are we investing them in the kingdom? Pray this morning. If you're like I am, and I'm sure you are, you can think of a time you missed an opportunity. You had the ability and God provided the resources and the opportunity and you missed it. A time like that comes to your mind and you haven't ask God to forgive you for that. Would you take this opportunity now and say, "God, I blew it. I'm sorry. I had an opportunity to invest in the kingdom, and I didn't do it." Now would you ask God to bless you with another opportunity? Another opportunity to be a good and faithful steward? To use whatever ability it is that you have for the good of the kingdom. God, I have no doubt that the desire deep within every one of our hearts is that one day we are going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Dear God, by Jesus' words today, for that to happen, we're going to have to be faithful. Faithful with the few things we have. Investing them in the things that Jesus would invest in. So this morning, dear God, would you just help us to grow to be more like Christ? Would you help us to see what abilities we have? Would our eyes be open, dear God, to the opportunities that are there, and our hands open to receive the resources from you that is necessary to bring it all together and invest in the kingdom? Dear God, help us to do what Jesus would do. To invest our lives in the kingdom of God. Dear God, today we want to tell you that we love you. And the desire of our heart is to be obedient to the sound of your voice. And to live a life of faithfulness that comes out looking good. So strengthen us. Enable us. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. And we will be careful to praise you and thank you and enter into the joy and the celebration of seeing an investment in the kingdom of heaven come to fruition. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the abilities, the opportunities we have. Thank you for being our God. We pray these things in your holy and precious name.